This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy you're with us. Welcome into December, I guess. Huh? My first show in the month of December. I wasn't here for Rabbit Rabbit, Carl. I guess
neither
you weren't either.
I was going to say, I don't think you said it.
Would have been right. on Sunday. So we didn't have to listen to it this month. But generally speaking, we would welcome in the month that way. But today is the, we've made it to the third.
1, 2, 3.
And yep, exactly. And it's cold and it's still snow all over the place. And tomorrow it's going to be 50 and it'll all melt. So that's a good thing. The weather's going to be all over the place, it looks like, for the next week or so, mostly on the cold side. But not a bad-looking weekend coming up. Looking forward to that. By the way, I just want to give a quick shout-out to the folks that are still trying to help out the family of that CBC hockey player, because I know that they're still raising money, and I'm told that there is such thing as a hockey bourbon club. So if I played hockey, I would be in the hockey bourbon club, but I'm not a member of that.
You watch hockey.
But I do watch hockey sometimes, so I guess maybe I could join. The Hockey Bourbon Club is holding a fundraiser in memory of Colin Brown. They're trying to help raise money for the Brown family. You can join them this Thursday, December 5th, down at the Triple Leaf Cigar Lounge, which is down off Manchester Road there by Manchester and Wideman Road. Sits back in that strip shopping center there. A portion of all the proceeds that night are going to go to the Brown family campaign, and the Hockey Bourbon Club and Triple Leaf are joining forces to get that done. So glad to see the community still wrapping their arms around that family, and I sure hope eventually. I know there's been my friend Carl reached out to me. Carl London said he's personally offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to the person that fired that gun. I hope things like that help, because that family needs justice for that tragedy that happened to them, for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Mark Lotter. I've been anxious to hear his take on Kash Patel at the FBI. Patel has already got big plans as to what he wants to do. It's left a lot of liberals quaking in their boots that there might actually be reform at the organization that, you know, oversaw Operation Crossfire Hurricane and harassed the Trump family and administration endlessly over a false dossier that they refused to admit was false for the longest time. These are things that need to be corrected, and a correction is due. We'll get to our friend Mark Lotter on that coming up. Ryan Wiggins, a little later, is going to join us about 8:35. We'll talk about his new book. I got the first copy of it. Got it in the mail Friday. Thank you. And then promptly walked out the door this morning and forgot to bring it with me because I was going to have him autograph it for me, and I forgot it at home.
It's not like you don't share an office.
Well, I know. I'll have to bring it in tomorrow and let him do that. We'll get to that for you coming up here shortly. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Board Bill 137 would allow city residents with a gateway card access to city services. Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez says without a government ID, there is often a barrier to access.
For the unhoused, let me finish that sentence. They're trying to give ID cards out for the city. That still wouldn't help anybody if they didn't have a state ID. They just look for ways to waste money.
Pete Hegseth has denied any wrongdoing. His lawyer said he paid the woman in 2023 to head off the threat of a baseless lawsuit. No charges were ever brought.
Looked like a hostage video. Sonny Hostin once again having to read a legal disclaimer for the libel that they keep smearing against Pete Hegseth on a regular basis.
We've seen the president of Mexico stand up and promise that she is going to work hand in hand with the president of the United States, President Trump, to secure the border.
There you have it. Ted Cruz, I think he's absolutely right. Donald Trump's 40-plus days away from taking office, and he's already got foreign leaders calling him up to negotiate.
Your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution, but let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Lies, horrible lies. That is the president of the United States doing an interview. I believe that was with ABC News. And today we learn from NBC News that way back in June, before that happened, I think he was in Normandy when that interview happened, in fact, for the celebration of D-Day, the anniversary there. And in June, prior to that interview, he sat down with his aides and said, I still haven't decided if I'll pardon my son, but we're going to lie about it anyway. If anybody asks you, you say no. And then I'll make my decision later. I mean, come on. That is a bold-faced lie. To have these folks going on TV and trying to defend it is the sad part about it. And you're entitled to have your own opinion on whether or not, if you were given the power, you would extend a pardon to your son, to Easton, to Brad, to your child. It doesn't have to be a son, to your child. If you were the president of the United States and you had that power, would you be willing to do that? That's the question it comes down to. For some people, the answer is simple. For me, it's a little more complicated. Do I think that if I was in that situation, I'd be tempted to do it? Number one, yes. Do I think I would have been honest about that with the media? Absolutely. I haven't decided yet. I want to wait and see what the sentencing is or what, you know, happens to be. But for the administration that orchestrated lawfare against Donald Trump, for them to now come out and claim that the justice system wasn't fair to Hunter Biden is just a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that galls me about it. And the breadth of pardon.
The 11 years. Right. And it was the timing of it is really important because 2014 is when Hunter Biden was first, I believe, on the board of Burisma. Well, we know what happened supposedly with those meetings where he was calling the big guy, his dad, putting him on speakerphone, even though they claim, you know, all he would do is just tell us about the weather. Well, he was still using that for a lot of the business deals he was making,
yes.
Raking in how much? I mean, millions and millions of dollars. I think that this 11-year time frame is really so that it can cover up a lot of the corruption within the Biden family. And that's what I have a problem with.
But it's only Hunter. It only covers Hunter right now. And there were others involved. This is what Jon Stewart was having a little bit of fun with it last night on The Daily Show. Listen.
The pardon, sweeping, covering offenses that Hunter Biden, quote, has committed or may have committed or taken part in over the past 11 years.
Oh, no. 11 years is a very specific. And rounded amount of time. So, Hunter, I'll give you a pardon. Well, a few years, 5 years, 10 years. It needs to be 11. And if you would be so kind, make sure this upcoming New Year's Eve is also covered.
Because it's going to be a blank show, he said. I cut that part out for you. But that's pretty funny. Why?
Can Biden go in there and make edits? Like, say, up until January 19th, if Hunter Biden does anything royally stupid, can he be like, you know what, I'd like to tweak a little bit and say that this is actually going to extend to January 19th?
He can also put a pocket pardon for himself in there, I guess. Maybe he'll
do
that for
him. So it would be immunity, because otherwise, Joe Biden has not been convicted of anything. So
right.
He would essentially say, I can't
be. Anything I do in the future?
How far back can you go since I was a baby? I mean, where's the line?
It's a great question. One, we'll kick around with Mark Lotter coming up here. He used to work, obviously, for President Trump. I don't know if he's considering a position in the new administration or not. We'll ask him when we come back.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And really what it was about was I had the ability to get this done. You wish you had it for your family, possibly, but I do, so I'm going to do it. And I think that is where it's just clearly lays bare the kind of, there's two sides to the judicial system. And I think tactically, this makes it a lot easier for, say, someone like a Kash Patel to get through, where it really does somewhat convey what he's been saying, and it has a lot more conveyance now.
That was Matt Gorman over on CNN saying, hey, wait a minute, what Biden's done here might kind of prove what Kash Patel's been saying all along, that there's a two-tiered justice system. Why would he do this? The liberals are scratching their head this morning. We got Mark Lotter on here with us, and I love having Mark back with us. Of course, he used to work for Donald Trump, and now he's with the America First Policy Institute. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, good to talk to you, Mark.
Got a lot of people scratching their heads this morning on this Hunter Biden pardon, particularly the scope of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why, by the way. I mean, look, the Biden administration began because of, and the only reason it exists is because of the lies about Hunter Biden and his laptop and his foreign business dealings and all the thousands of dollars. And so why would it surprise us that it's ending with lies about Hunter Biden? I mean, these are the same people who lied to us about inflation being transitory, lied to us about the border being secure, lied to us about being the adults in the room that were going to restore America's standing in the world. And so why are we surprised that they would lie to us for a year saying, no, he's not going to pardon Hunter Biden?
I heard James Comer saying, you know, we have investigated all this. I don't know how many people you know that have 35 different LLCs with cash coming into all the family members from foreign countries. What about Jim Biden? What about Joe Biden? He seems to think that unless those two end up being pardoned as well, there could still be some investigations of the Biden family moving forward.
Well, there absolutely could be. The key, though, is, and this is the one thing, and I mentioned this last night on one of the cable networks, is that this pardon removes the leverage over Hunter Biden. Because, as we both know, the great thing that the federal government, the FBI, DOJ, the thing that they do is they use leverage. They're going to charge the heck out of you. They're going to threaten you with decades in prison, all this kind of stuff, unless you cooperate.
Yes.
Unless you give us this information, because right now I got a bunch of bank records, and right now I got a bunch of flow charts that talks about the LLCs and blah, 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 blah. What I don't have is the smoking gun. I don't have the smoking gun that says, hey, this is how Joe Biden got the money. And there's probably only one or two people that can provide that smoking gun. One of them was Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
And so now that there's no threat of him being prosecuted, no threat of him going to prison, no threat of anything, you've just removed the one big thing they might need to either pin it on Joe or to get that smoking gun.
I mean, let's just say that Biden gave himself immunity here. And I don't know how long you could extend that for, like basically saying, well, my entire life, if I may have committed a crime. I mean, you think about that versus the left losing its mind over the Supreme Court saying that Trump had or a president would have immunity.
Well, and that, he would claim immunity in from his, because remember, these business dealings began when he was actually vice president.
Right.
And so the question is going to be is whether that immunity extends to his time as vice president. And whether it was official actions, he's going to argue it probably did. Now, the pardon, I mean, remarkably, he pardoned. This is such a wide open blanket pardon that Hunter could have literally basically almost committed murder up until midnight Sunday night. I mean, that's how far it went.
Yeah.
He could do whatever he wanted to do up until midnight Sunday night, and he was good. I mean, and why go back all the way to 2014? I mean, this is before he joined Burisma.
Right.
This is before all of this other stuff.
It clears him of a lot of stuff potentially there for sure. We're talking to Mark Lotter. You know, Mark, I know that you served in the first Trump administration. Any talks of joining the second Trump administration?
Oh, I probably don't see that happening. You know, I've been there, done that. This is a young person's game, and that's a pay cut I don't need. But
good for you.
But no, look, I mean, obviously happy to serve on the outside, be supportive and help. But I have a feeling this is more of a young person's game, as opposed to someone who's been around the block a few times.
But there were two different people that came from America First, right? Was it Bondi, and who else? Linda McMahon?
Actually, there's actually seven or eight.
Wow.
Bondi, Linda McMahon, Brooke Rollins, General Keith Kellogg, Matt Whitaker. I'm sure there's more that I'm going to miss. Lee Zeldin. So, yeah, I think in all we have about seven or eight, including, I think, five cabinet members.
Well, good. So we'll still have access to you, even if the rest of them have jumped ship and gone to work for Donald Trump. That's a good thing. We appreciate you, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thank you. Mark Lotter there with the America First Policy Institute. He's hanging around, it sounds like, over there. That's good. Coming up, we'll get to Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, talk about his new book when we come back.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
All right, the one and only twice published author, Ryan Wiggins in studio right now. And proud to say on Friday, I texted you a picture of your book that arrived in the mail at my house. I ordered it. And you say I was the first one.
There is almost no doubt in my mind that that was the first book, because I ordered a handful, you know, probably a dozen or so, just to have and events and stuff. And I still haven't gotten mine. So you ordered yours just a day before mine, and you have to be the first that got one.
Well, thank you. And I meant to bring it in this morning, and in my absent-mindedness, I forgot to do that. So go pick up the grocery list. You can find it on Amazon, Food for Thought. You should have just called it Wiggins America, because it's like Wigginisms is how I would describe it.
It really is. Yeah. I could have called it that.
As the author of the book, do you get at least one free copy?
They send you proofs, so you can get up to five proofs. But I was doing everything so last minute that I didn't even have time to get them.
That would be me.
That's what it is. It's whatever you get, that's what it's going
to
be.
Well, we talked about this last week, but in case you missed it, if you ever watched Saturday Night Live with Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, that skit that used to be on there, what, was in the 80s?
Through probably the mid to late 90s.
Oh, it was that late? That long? I didn't know it lasted that long. Ryan managed to get the actual Jack Handy as a person. It's not a character.
Yeah.
He found Jack Handy, like, in a retirement home down in Arizona somewhere, and talked the guy into writing the foreword for his book.
Well, he just gave me he told me no initially. And then I don't know if he read it and liked it or what, but then he completely changed his mind and said, okay, fine, I'll do it. And he sent me a handful of book blurbs.
Oh, that's great.
That he spent time on. I really appreciated that, because he said, I really, I, so pick one of these, and that's the one that's on the cover.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. Well, congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. I do love that. So you brought in something on Act Blue. I know it's one of the organizations that funds a lot of liberal causes and liberal politicians, right?
Yeah. The Act Blue is it's actually a pretty amazing website and organization because they allow you, if you're, you know, a local Democrat anywhere, and let's say you're in Illinois, and you say, I really like Kamala Harris. I like to donate to Kamala Harris, but I also want to donate to this one specific House rep, and I like Missouri's Amendment 3. So you could donate to all these things if you wanted to
on
from
one
website.
Wow.
And, of course, we can talk about the fact that that's out of state some other time.
Right.
But this organization was amazing. They garnered $1 billion for Democrat candidates and issues across the board this election cycle. That's a lot of money. The problem is about 60% of it they can account for legally.
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, there's multiple investigations, one from the House Ethics Committee. There's a court case in Wisconsin that actually just was the big news of the last couple days that's moving forward now. And there's 19 state attorneys generals looking into this because that means that about $600 million they can account for with proper credit card files. About $400 million, they have just the credit card number and no other real information.
On where it came from?
Right.
Okay.
And so when you have a website that's set up to take credit cards in one way, the 60%, you go, well, why did you have 40%? That you just have credit card and no three-digit code, no nothing else. The reason this has become a big problem is because one of the people that had one of these random credit cards, and here's the allegation, is that it looks like they just were stealing from random credit cards.
No kidding.
That's the allegation.
Okay.
The reason that they're looking into this is that one of the random people that they did this to happened to be a Republican strategist in Wisconsin. And he caught it, and he said, there has been hundreds of donations to Democrat causes from my credit card that I did not authorize through Act Blue. He took it. Now, a lot of people would look at that and go, I'm calling, and this is credit card fraud. And, you know, you get your refund, and you move on. He's like, no, 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 this is a bigger deal. So he's made a huge stink about it. And now all these different investigations are looking into it. They have, they wouldn't have known any of this $400 million stuff other than for this guy. Now he keeps pushing this court stuff forward, and it just got its next step in Wisconsin yesterday. They said, yeah, this case can proceed because this looks super fishy. So they're starting to subpoena their records. The house of cards is coming down. The problem is, what are we going to actually find out here? Because if you subpoena records, what are you going to do? Go, here's all my fraud. Like, I just do. I wait to see what's actually going to come from this. But there's a lot of suspicion around a lot of Democrat money.
Well, under subpoena, though, you could find out who owned those credit cards. If you have the credit card number, MasterCard or Visa could tell you who the owner of the card was, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you turn over the correct credit cards. Right. I'm just saying that. There's going to be a long process of them going, oh, we're going to take as long as we can to turn these things over. And then once they do, somebody's going to have to look into it. This could be years and years. But the fact that 40%, $400 million.
That's huge.
Was taken from credit cards that look a lot different than the other 60%. I'll say it that way. Looks like it could be. Massive, massive fraud.
Boy, I'd love to hear what Hans thinks about that since he worked on the Elections Commission. Maybe remind me Monday, Kim, and we'll be sure and ask him about that.
This obviously sounds very, very sketchy, but one thought that comes to mind is that for whatever reason, it seems like the left is just better at organizing. They're better at fundraising. They're better at all of these things. And clearly there's some issues with Act Blue, but does the conservative side, do we have anything like that? Because it seems like this is actually a good way, if they were actually being truthful about things, a good way to do it, right? Where you can donate to different causes and be very specific about where your money is going. So if it were done right, it seems like this would be a good idea for conservatives.
That doesn't Win Red do that? Isn't that the
name
of it?
Is that what it is?
I think so. I can't swear to that. But I would point out that out fundraising Trump didn't do them a lot of good in this case.
Yeah, because they did. Right? Yeah, and I don't know how much of this Act Blue money went to the Harris campaign.
Right.
I'm sure it was a portion, you know, a good portion of it. But the problem is, and you were kind of alluding to this, Kim, that whenever you hear about these problems, you know, and we say this a lot, it's not just that Democrats are scoundrels. There's a lot of Republicans who are terrible, too. Mm-hmm. You get these people out. But the problem is, anytime we hear about this stuff, it seems to be Democrats doing it. And I'm not looking into just things that look good for Republicans. You know, you're reading the news. The problem is, you read the mainstream news. I looked this story up this morning. There were zero stories about it across any mainstream news outlets.
That's shocking.
I had to look up old articles and really research, because there's stuff from the last few months about this as things have moved forward. Newt Gingrich wrote an op-ed on it, and finally Real Clear Policy is catching up. So it's just few and far. Like, there's great journalism happening. It's just not in the mainstream media.
What they can do that we've learned today, Mark, is if someone was caught lying about the credit cards and the money and where it was going, they can be like, I didn't lie, I changed course.
Yes, that's
true. I went
back
on a promise I'd previously made. I didn't lie.
According to
that's what
Corinne,
they're saying about Hunter Biden and Joe repeatedly
just
saying that he, you know, lied.
He just changed course. Corinne
right,
Jean-Pierre.
Right, that's not lying.
Very, very dignified.
But then you have to acknowledge the fact that Joe Biden could ever chart his own course, and he's far beyond that these days.
Man, that's big news this weekend.
Not the captain.
I was out
of
town, and that one broke through. The pardon, I was like, okay, that
I'm walking around Silver Dollar City in Branson. People are texting me.
Really?
Did you hear what he did? Pardon, Hunter?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm not surprised. I called it from the beginning. I'm like, of course he will.
Yeah.
It may be January 19th, but he'll pardon that kid before he leaves office, because you would be tempted to do it if it was your son. It's just the scope of the pardon and the allegation that there was some wrongdoing on the part of his own Justice Department that is shocking about the whole thing.
Yeah. He's setting a new precedent that just suggests, well, if you're related to the president, you can go do anything you want for a long time.
11 years.
And just go, hey, I got a free ride here.
I saw some of my left-leaning friends saying things like, well, it's a victimless crime that Hunter was. I'm like, oh, well,
violations
are victimless. Yeah, interesting. I wouldn't say that. But then you think about Trump and what he's been facing and all these stupid charges that he's been facing and was convicted of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was victimless.
In New York, where that was victimless.
Right,
so,
right.
Right, yeah. With the fraud, supposedly business fraud. Ryan, can you hang around?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
And then it goes further. Then you have Joe and Mika go to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring and suck up to Donald Trump. You can't make that story up.
Well, I'm not even sure they were kissing the ring. I think they were kissing a little bit lower than that.
Way to go, Ted. Ted slipped one in there, didn't he? For sure. Apparently, Rachel Maddow is very pissed off about that, Ryan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. Apparently, there's a civil war brewing at MSNBC.
Is she mad at the network or at Mika and Joe?
She's mad at Joe Scarborough for their decision to meet with Hitler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a very tense situation with some feeling they've been stabbed in the back of the very long neck. I guess that would be Rachel Maddow.
I guess so.
I still think MSNBC almost forced them to go. I really do. I don't think it was their decision.
Oh no, I think
alone.
It was completely
decision. Really? I don't see them pitching that to the network. I feel like the network was like, look, this guy's going to be president for the next 4 years. We have to have some sort of a connection to this guy. We can't be on such poor terms.
As much as I dislike Rachel Maddow, she's actually in the right as far as consistency goes. If you're going to call the guy Hitler, then you don't go, well,
I think I'll go meet with him.
Let's go meet with Hitler. Say what he wants.
Yeah. According to a source inside of the organization, most of us don't want to be a part of that. Some are thinking about trying to join other media organizations where we can do our job with respect and values to truth without being pressured by the people in power. They've lost a lot of credibility. Rachel Maddow is pissed at them, as are other presenters like Chris Hayes and Ari Melber.
Ari Melber.
So frustrated.
Yep. Whenever Ari Melber gets frustrated,
well, I'm telling you,
the nation notices.
That kind of takes the cake. By the way, this news has broken here while we've been in the show. Kim mentioned it to me a minute ago. They have declared martial law in South Korea. And it sounds like it has more to do with internal strife in South Korea than North Korea, because he's claiming the president there is claiming that members of the opposition party in his government are sympathetic with North Korea and involved in anti-government activity. So he's shutting the whole thing down, and he's going to declare martial law, and the army's going to take over in South Korea. That's an interesting development.
While that's not directly related to us, I hate to hear that, because South Korea is a very strong democracy in the midst of a lot of communist nations over there.
That's true, and probably a very big trading partner with us as well. I'm sure Trump will release something on that here shortly, if I had to guess. Hey, so, you know, I joke all the time that Bill Maher is probably my favorite liberal these days, and primarily it's because he's a liberal. He doesn't lie about it. He doesn't hold back, but he's probably got more common sense than the other 99% of them, from what I can tell. So he has Hanoi Jane on his show, Jane Fonda, and they're talking about climate change, and she is all in, baby. She wants to end fossil fuels tomorrow, and he says to her, but Jane, people in these third world countries that are just now starting to enjoy the benefits of, like, being able to turn the lights on 24 hours a day and all that, they want their chance to shine, and they need fossil fuels to do that. How can you tell them, I'm sorry, we've screwed it up, you can't have these things? Well, then we just rush in and we give them money and we build up solar panels for them and we show them there's a way without fossil fuels. Watching these two get into this conversation was just hilarious. He finally just told her she's naive. Listen to a little bit of this.
And we don't have a lot of time between now and the tipping points, okay? Which is stop all new fossil fuel development, cut our emissions in half very quickly, and then gradually phase out. That would probably be considered, maybe even by you, as radical.
Well, it doesn't even matter because it's never going to happen. That's just not something humans are willing to do.
It's going to have to happen.
No,
or there's no future for it. You're so cynical, God.
Well, and you're so naive.
You think so?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I love
you.
You're just naive. You know, I mean, thank you, Bill, for standing up and saying this to her. Somebody had to stand up and say it to her.
You know, one thing I'm really glad about is that as somebody who's watched the climate crisis unfold, we must be doing something right, because the tipping point is always about 3 or 4 years away.
Yeah, it's always right there.
We've never gone over it, which is great. It's always just ahead.
I remember my parents having that copy of Time magazine back in the 70s when it said the next ice age, right?
I do too. I remember seeing that magazine.
Thank you. Yeah. I know. I do. I remember they had it on their, they had a bunch of old magazines, and that was one of them. I wish I had saved it, because then it was going to be too hot after it was too cold, and now they're not really sure, so it's just change.
When I was in fifth grade, I remember my teacher, and we had, you know, a little bit different teachers. We'd go from class to class a little bit at that point, and my science teacher was teaching us, I remember this, fifth grade, which would have been about 1990.
Okay.
The ice age is coming.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. That's why I remember it. Because I'm like, oh, no, this is terrible. We all need to move to the equator.
This is like Y2K. Remember that?
Yeah.
Freaked us all out.
Exactly. Yeah. I was one of the Y2K reporters over at Channel 4. I had to give up my New Year's Eve that night to go into work early the next morning, just in case the crap hit the fan. And it was a whole lot of nutting.
Yeah,
that's what it was. That's what it ended up being.
Well, it's always 2 or 3 years away. Y2K also, just about 2 or 3 years away.
Exactly. It's just around the corner. All right. That does it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next, I'm sure, with more on Pardongate. If they're not calling it that yet, they will be very shortly. That's straight ahead. Then Annie and Mark are in this afternoon, along with Ryan Wiggins. So I'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.